I grew up in Seoul, South Korea, in the aftermath of the Korean War. My father and mother were Presbyterian missionaries, my father doing medical work, my mother doing community education. And the shadows and signs of war were all around me. There were hillsides full of ramshackle shelters and shacks of war refugees and displaced persons, beggars in the streets, people missing limbs, disfigured by illness and traumatic injury. And I remember my mother saying to me, as I was wrestling with how to respond to human suffering, even as a child, "You'll have to work that out for yourself. But you might recall the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you." One day, my brother and I had put on our winter coats and hats and gloves. Winters were cold in Korea, and we walked outside, and there was a man standing right in front of our door, poorly dressed, but with great dignity, and he put out his hand, and he asked for help. And we gave him some of our allowance money, and then he pointed at our coats and indicated he would like one, and I flinched. These were Christmas presents. I didn't want to give it to him. And I said, "Minhamnida andeo," in my kid's Korean, "I'm sorry, I can't." And he smiled sadly and walked away. I remember him still, and the shame I felt that I didn't respond to this very simple request. So fast forward about two decades, it's the 1980s, and I'm working with a group called the Indochina Refugee Action Center, promoting resettlement of Indochinese refugees in the United States, and then went to Thailand, working with Save the Children, other organizations. I met my wife there, learned Thai, worked with many different Thai organizations in the camps, UN and others, and then came back to the U.S. again to work on global refugee protection issues, but with a focus still on Southeast Asia. And in 1986, I was asked to join a small team of people to go out and investigate a new crisis. After about a decade of responding to Indochinese refugees, Vietnamese boat people had surged again, and the Thai government simply had had enough, and they announced that they would be declaring it illegal to help refugees, particularly Vietnamese boat people, any further on land or at sea. And the naval fleet was called to intervene, and tow boats back out to sea if they were intercepted. So we'd heard that there were people out on outer islands on the east coast in Trat province. And we organized a small group of people, a congressional staffer, an NGO official, a photojournalist, and myself. Two of us spoke Thai, one spoke some Vietnamese, and we pretended we were tourists. We hired a long-tail boat. We provisioned it with water and food. We knew that we could not rescue people, because if we took them to land, they would be under arrest. We could be in jeopardy, and the crisis could even escalate. If there were life-saving issues, we felt we would do the best we could. But we had in mind the idea of simply documenting where they were, how many, what were those conditions, providing small provisions, and then reporting when we went back to the UN and other stakeholders to try to advocate for a change in this very inhumane policy. So we coasted around, motored around these islands, gorgeous islands. I've often said some of the worst conditions and the worst of humanity and inhumanity to humankind happens in some of the most beautiful places on earth, and we came across 10 to 15 Vietnamese sitting on a rocky outcropping. And as soon as they saw our boat, and I guess foreign faces, they began to laugh and shout and smile. And the photojournalist shouted, "Stop smiling, damn it." He wanted a picture of people suffering. They weren't smiling as much when we said, "We cannot take you to shore. We will take your names. We'll give you food and water, and we will try as best we can to get help to you as soon as possible." And then we proceeded on, and they had pointed in the direction of another, even more remote island, said there might be some people out there, some survivors of another wreck. And we did, in fact, come upon one man, one lone man, sitting on a beach wearing nothing but a pair of shorts. He indicated that he had survived and thought was the only survivor of a boat that had been pushed back out to sea and had foundered in the heavy surf, and he wasn't sure if any of his boatmates had survived. So we again offered him food and water and took his name, and we were thinking how we might be able to at least escort him to some other place to join others. And I noticed, even in the short interim of sort of thinking how we could help further, I noticed a blanket and a pillow that the Thai boatman had, presumably that he used when he was bunking down for the night. And I said, could I buy that from you? And he thought for a moment. He said, you can have the blanket, but no pillow. And so we went back. We made our reports in Bangkok. We made our reports in Washington. We advocated as best we could for a turnaround. It did come several weeks later. We don't know at the expense of how many lives or the suffering of how many. We did find that that larger group of people were, in fact, located the very next day and taken to a camp where they were processed as refugees. And my thought and hope is that they're maybe living here amongst us as resettled refugees in the United States. We have resettled millions over the years of Indochinese and others. I don't know what happened to the lone man on the beach. So the search for safety is a long and hard road. It ends all too often in failure. We fail and fall short as researchers and advocates and human beings. Policies fail, programs fail, willpower fails, and people struggle. And the search ends sadly sometimes in despair, even death. But there is hope. The stories you have heard are stories of survival. They're stories of resilience. And the history of this country is one of struggle for freedom and a search for justice. And as I sit in my study some evenings, I look up and there's a copy of a 1688 petition, an anti-slavery petition, the first of its kind in the Americas. One of the four authors of that, there were two German Quakers and two Dutch Mennonites who came in the 1600s, and they saw the treatment of African slaves, and they protested. Even Quakers, fellow Quakers, were slave owners, and they said, we protest the trafficking of men's bodies. They failed. Slavery was not defeated for many, many decades to come. So the work that we do so often does end in uncertainty and sadly sometimes failure. But we do carry on. And I am inspired by the work that my ancestors did to come to this country themselves as refugees from religious oppression in Europe, to seek justice for other people, to work on behalf of those with less. And the messages that I learned early on remain with me, and I offer them to you. Welcome the stranger. If someone asks for your shirt, give them your coat as well. If you can spare it, throw in a blanket, and hey, why not a pillow as well? Thank you.